Been anticipating today, not a fan. We're kicking off. So many good things are happening in our midst. I think it was Henry Blackaby that promoted this principle that if you want to really get on board with what Jesus is doing, you need to open your eyes and take notice of what's going on around you. And there are just little stories here and there. I wish I could call up all the people that I know that exciting things are happening in their life right now, but I don't have permission to do that. But maybe as the weeks move on, we'll get people up here sharing stories like what Tracy shared, that what happened last week in the Easter service among the kids, just so that you're aware of what's going on, possibly with that person sitting next to you. Good things are happening, and it's really exciting. We've been thinking and praying and planning about this series for months now. And it's finally here with us, and we're ready to jump in. So today, what I wanted to do is something that I think is very important, is let you know exactly what's going to be taking place over the next few weeks, over the next 42 days. So I'm going to lay it all out there so that nothing is hidden, and you know exactly all the different pieces and why those pieces are in place. This isn't about a program. This isn't about a message series. This is about getting on board with something that the Holy Spirit is already at work doing. And he's calling people to follow Jesus. After Jesus had completed his redemptive work on the cross and through the resurrection, he entrusted the message of the gospel to his disciples. And then before he departed and ascended into heaven, look at that. This is going to be fun today. Before he departed, oh, incidentally, do you know if it feels a little warm in here today? It's because there's not a fan. It can only go uphill. So anyhow, the last instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples sounded like this. It's in the last chapter of Matthew. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Simple, isn't it? Go, make disciples, teach them to observe. That's the foundation of the mission of the church. Did you know that word disciple? Because that's what he commanded us to go make. Make disciples. That word disciple only appears in the Gospels and the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. You don't find it in any of the letters, which is curious. If you take that word and set it up against another word, and that other word is student, here's the difference between a disciple and a student. A student collects information from his teacher, but a disciple adopts the lifestyle, conduct, and attitude of his master. A student is focused on information. A disciple is focused on transformation. This is an important principle because what it means is this. A disciple actually loses his life and gains the life of his master. What person, whoever first trusted Christ, had it in his mind that from there on out, their life was all going to be about getting more information? Everybody who trusts Christ enjoys the joy of the forgiveness of sins, but then there's also this newborn desire to be made like their Savior. This is a transformational process. This is a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Because we have been charged with going into the world and making disciples. We've been charged with transforming lives. It's a whole lot more than just being a good neighbor. We've been given something to do. And it takes a disciple to make a disciple. Now, this word in the Gospels appears alongside or is replaced by another word. And that word we have translated into English as follower. A disciple follows, and a follower is a disciple. They go hand in hand. So Jesus charged his disciple followers to go and make disciple followers of Jesus, not of anybody else. This charge, like I said before, lies at the foundation of what Jesus has asked us as a group of followers to do, to make disciple followers. This brings up a big question, and that question is, how do you do that? How do you make somebody who's outside of the kingdom of God, how do you make them a disciple follower? And maybe you've wrestled with that question yourself. Welcome to our series, Not a Fan. Our intent, let me be very clear on this, our intent right from the get-go, and I want you to know this, is to make us disciple followers and to make more disciple followers. A disciple follower is not an achievement. It's not a reward. It's not something that you flip a switch and you are. This is all about a transformational process that we're involved in. This means that no matter where you're at in your understanding of who Jesus is, whether you're a newbie in the kingdom of God or whether you're a veteran in the kingdom of God, the call is always and still fresh for every single one of us, because it's not something you get to and then stop. It's something that's ongoing. It's a transformational process. So that's really good news, because it means all of us will be able to get something out of this series as we explore the different things in the Word of God and the different components we've got. I want to explain what we're going to be doing over the next 42 days. And at this time, I'd like the small group leaders who are involved with Not a Fan to come on up on stage. I'm just going to keep on talking while you're walking up here. It makes me want to start whistling, you know. Well, anyhow. You're doing great. Don't they look good? Don't let the glare off John's head bother you. These are the different components of our series, okay? You can see them listed up here. First, of course, is going to be Sunday morning. You know, we're going to need a handheld microphone. If somebody could run one of those up. Thanks, Steve. On Sunday mornings, we're going to turn our attention right to the Word of God. And between Pastor Matt and myself, we're going to be looking at the words of Jesus and what he talks about when he challenges people to follow him. We're going to stay true to the text. We're not going to be preaching somebody's opinion or somebody's point of view. We're going right to the text to examine what Jesus said and then make that relevant in our lives. Another key component, as usual here at Cornerstone, is small group interaction. These are the leaders of our small groups. Yay! We even have a couple that aren't here. What I'd like you to do is just go down the line, give us your name, when your group meets, and then just say in 15 seconds or less, one thing that you anticipate the Holy Spirit's going to do through this series in your group.
I'm John Middlestadt, and our group meets the first, third, and fourth Wednesday of every night or every month in my house, and at 6:30 to 8. Yeah, 6:30 to 8. I'm looking for affirmation. I have it right.
You've been doing this how long?
You know, as I've looked at the material and I've kind of seen the Not a Fan developing, you know, I just think that there's such a difference between what we kind of expect is in the culture of Christianity and coming to church and being a Christian and what Jesus really expects of us. And I really hope that, you know, I really believe that this thing is going to take us to that level of being followers.
Nice. Thank you.
My name is Nathan Clanton. Our group meets Sunday nights. We try to meet every other week. We're starting off tonight, and then we'll be meeting again May 6th and May 20th. We meet at the home of Mike and Heather Vetters, 99th and Central, just south of here. We meet from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sunday nights. One thing I'm expecting to see, and I'm excited to see, is just the real conversations that are going to take place as we really assess where we're at in our relationship with Christ and where we want to be. I think that can also lead to very important conversations with people, you know, out there in the world too. So,
hi, I'm Bruce Cox. I lead a group that meets on Tuesday nights until this week. It'll be Tuesday this week, and then after that, we have scheduled conflicts. We're going to switch to Thursdays, We meet from 6:30 till 8 o'clock at my house, which is right over by the McDonald's here on 65 and 242. So we have a lot of fun. Kind of crazy sometimes, too. We have a lot of little kids. For our group, kind of as I mentioned to you guys during the worship set, as I was thinking about it, one of the things I'm excited about is to think about, really, if it's just you and Jesus and there's nobody else around, what does that do to me and what does that do to you? How would your life be different and how would my life be different if it was just you and Jesus walking together?
Hi, I'm Tim Newcomb. I lead the small group. We meet Monday night at 6:30 to 8, and we're meeting at the Ashworth for the Not a Fan series. I know I had a good time reading the book a couple months ago or whatever. It kind of provided some good questions or whatever to go ahead and kind of seek through yourself to really figure out, you know, am I following the way, you know, Jesus wants me to follow, and am I being consistent with how I see that? So I just think it's good to, you know, take some introspection and really analyze how things are going. So
I'm John Schenzler, and our group meets from 7 to 8:30 on Tuesday nights. We meet at my wife's home in Anoka, and she lets me stay there. And we have a men's group. This one's for men, and we span the ages from the late 20s to 70. So, you know, if you think you're too old or too young for our group, you're thinking wrong. And we're going to continue with the same sort of theme that we've had all year, is trying to get guys to think about all their decisions in life from a biblical worldview. And basically, you know, that's one thing that really brings us closer to God to begin with. So that's kind of kind of our goal.
My name is Gina, and I lead a parenting group, kind of, which is a little different. But we have teenagers and parents, and we all come together on Sunday mornings before service from 9 a.m. to like 9:55 a.m. So we have really great food that people prepare. So if you're a teenager and you like to eat, come early on Sunday mornings. And I'm just excited for this group. The main purpose really is just to bring families together on that spiritual sense. So we have at-home discussions that'll be throughout the week that's all set up. So you just need to come, we'll watch the little videos, and you know, just enjoy kind of having that time where you're focused on your family throughout the week. So, and then I'm a part of a group, and my leader's not up here, Jordan Cox. I don't think he's here this morning, but we are the misfit group. We're kind of 20s to not married people, but we meet on Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock at Bruce's house, or we switch around sometimes, but generally there. And that group is really just kind of a neat design to just get to know some people in the church when and kind of connect in. And so I'm excited for this thing, as it's a really personal study. I've watched a lot of the videos already, and it's just kind of gets you onto that personal level of kind of opening up and being vulnerable a little bit. So I'm excited to see what that study does for our small group that I'm a part of, too.
Thanks, guys. You know, if you put 8 to 10 people in each one of these groups, do you see how many people at Cornerstone are involved in small group ministry? Something's really exciting happening there. Thanks. I should mention while they're leaving that I also have a small group in Ham Lake. Thought you wanted to shake my hand, Bruce. And one of the things that I found really exciting is that, you know, one of the core values that we have at Cornerstone is an emphasis on prayer. And, you know, if you look at each one of these small groups, if in any given week they're spending as a group 15 minutes or more in prayer, there's a lot of prayer going on here at Cornerstone, which means that God's doing a lot of listening, which means something's being happening right here in the northern suburbs. Anyhow, these small groups, they're going to be meeting weekly over the next 42 days. If you're not in a small group and would like to be, you can talk to any one of these people that you saw up here, okay? Just ask them when and how to get involved in it. Also, if you're in a group that's not meeting every week and you want to make sure that you don't miss out on anything that's happening in this series, it's all right to just kind of slide into another group on those weeks that you're not meeting with your regular small group. The important thing is that we want people engaged. We're also offering the book, Not a Fan. We've been handing these out for a few weeks. They're on the table out in the front. If the books are not there for some reason, you can also go on over to your local bookstore, Lifeway. They're on sale for only $5 there. If you take one here, we just suggest you slip $10 into the offering plate to help cover the cost so that I can do things after the Not a Fan series. Talk to the finance guy this morning. Anyhow, I encourage you to not just read this book. Underline it, dog-ear it, get involved in it. But more than that, use this as an opportunity to start a conversation with somebody else. Okay? Use it as an excuse to hand it to somebody and say, I've been reading this book, it's been kind of niggling at me, and I'd like to get your feedback. Could you read particularly chapter whatever? I'd like to know your thoughts about this. Start a conversation with somebody. Break out of your comfort zone. Also, in that vein, if I could just have a little fun here. Can I have fun? Sure, why not? Somebody told me I need to have more fun. Okay, let's have some fun. See these little black gummy bands? You can wear these if you're not a fan. Ha! They'll start conversations. In fact, Matt told me this morning that he's already had conversations because of that little gummy band. You just wear it around 42 days. Won't hurt you. It may start a conversation with somebody you don't know. Something else that we're offering, and this is the most challenging piece. It's this little book here, and it's called A Not a Fan Journal. This is the most challenging piece because of this reason. First of all, it's very short, lasts for 42 days, and every day for 42 days, it's broken up into three sections, a morning, an afternoon, and an evening. Short little reading, and every reading has a chance for you to respond to it. That's the challenging piece, doing it three times a day for 42 days. The other challenging piece is this, and I want to be very clear on this so that nobody's hitting me over the head with some kind of Bible afterwards. This is not a Bible study book. This does not replace a devotional inquiry into the Word of God. This goes alongside. This is extremely personal, very personal, only you personal. So the other challenge is to drop the Christian cliches and be really gut-level honest with the Lord as you write out the responses to the questions that are in this journal. Three short readings a day, 42 days. This is what will happen if you include this piece in your search over the next month. You are going to experience a new level or a new depth in your relationship with Jesus Christ. He's going to challenge you, affirm you, and enthuse you. If you don't do it, what will happen? Nothing. No one, there's not going to be any lightning that falls from the sky, nothing like that. But you're also going to miss out on something that God has prepared for you. I'm also very excited about, I should also mention, we do also have these flyers out on the table. Feel free to take some. There's one in your bulletin. Give it to somebody. Hand it out. Remember, we're about making disciples. We're not about making attenders. We're about making disciples. So it's an opportunity to invite somebody into a spiritual journey and adventure. Expose themselves to the Word of God, what Jesus has to say, and challenge them on a gut level, a soul level. This last piece I'm very excited about, and that's that intergenerational focus. Gina was talking about this. Every Sunday morning in what we have traditionally called Parent Connect, the youth and parents are going to be going through this material as well. It's kind of adapted a little bit for them, but the intention is to spark those conversations and strengthen those ties with our youth and our parents, and talk about things that really matter for life, for all of life. So I'm expecting some exciting stories out of that group as well. Anyone is welcome to attend this. If you know, every family is concerned about their kids. If you know of a family that isn't a family prone to going to church on Sunday mornings, what a great opportunity to invite them just for 6 weeks and to spark the topic in their own family. So take advantage of that. Those are the different components that are going to be going on for the next 42 days. That's all they are components. What's really going on, as Bruce said, is between you and Jesus. That's what we're really after. This is our objective in all of this. It's to make disciple followers. How do you do that? How do you make a disciple follower? Jesus told us, you teach them to observe. Teach them to observe, which means to notice and obey, to hear what God is saying, and to implement it. What that means is this. If you're happy with status quo, if you're happy with the way things are and you're just coasting, you're not growing. You're just coasting. So if we're going to grow in our followership, in our discipleship, it means there has to be challenge. Not only does there have to be challenge, but there has to be encouragement. And one other thing that I've learned as I've walked with the Lord since I was 15 years old is that growth happens much more effectively when we're engaged in the lives of other people. Mentors, small group leaders, overseers, elders, whatever title you want to give them, when you pour your life and invest your life in somebody else, and when you let somebody else invest their lives in you, change takes place dramatically. So avail yourself of that during the series as well. So we have all these different components of what's going on. Why? Why not just spend half an hour on Sunday mornings talking about what it means to follow Jesus? And it all comes down to this key principle. It's to keep the topic top of mind. If you just think about it for 30 minutes on Sunday morning, statistics will show that by the end of the day, you will have forgotten most everything that was said. There's no life change in that, and that's not what we're about. We want life change. So to do that, we have all these different components available so that this topic can be top of mind for you 7 days a week, three times every day, so that you're thinking about it. What's going to happen then? The more you think about it and digest what Jesus wants when he calls a follower, the more likely you are to start making some different choices. And as we saw in the book of Romans, that endurance piece, those choices, that pattern then becomes a part of our life. And one day you wake up and you don't even recognize it. Somewhere along the line, you died and Jesus was born in you. That's the good stuff that takes place. So I want to encourage you again, have I said this? Take advantage of each one of these components. What's it going to cost you to show up to church for 6 weeks in a row? What's it going to cost you to be part of a small group for 6 weeks? What's it going to cost you to pick up that journal and be engaged in it for just 10 minutes three times a day? What's it going to cost you? Let's flip that question around. What's it going to change in you? Are you willing to go there? So, because of that, I've done my encouraging piece. You know exactly what's going to take place over the next 42 days. Almost. I want to speak with you on a different level, if I can. I want to give you a word of encouragement. I wish at this time I could just sit down one-on-one with each one of you in the comfort of your living room or over at my office at Caribou Coffee. If I could just speak with you one-on-one. This isn't just a study. It's not just a message series. I get no kind of glamour or illusion out of standing in front of people and speaking. That's not what Cornerstone is about. Okay? It really is about you and what Jesus wants to do in your life. As you prayerfully engage in all these different opportunities that we make available, I want to give you a personal heads up what you can expect the Holy Spirit to be doing in your life. I am going to be as frank and as honest with you as I can, knowing that I'm speaking to a group. As you seek the Lord prayerfully through this study, over the next 42 days, this is what you can expect to happen in your life. You can expect the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you in a way that you understand about something that's important to Him. If you're intent on following Jesus, Don't be surprised if at some time over the next 40 days, he talks to you about something in your life that needs to go. And don't be surprised if he talks to you about something that he wants to incorporate into your life. This could be things like bad habits, coarse jesting, lying, could be substance abuse, it might be sexual misconduct, it could be an anger issue, but he's going to put his finger specifically on something in your life that needs to be taken out. He's also going to encourage you about putting something in, and that could be something like respecting boundaries, learning to tell the truth gracefully, supporting people who are connected or involved in ministry. It might be an issue of generosity. He could be speaking to you about your prayer life, but he will do it, perhaps, in this one area. What would you do if during the next 42 days, God was to speak to you about a career change? Are you ready to hear that? It could happen. Something else he may do, and that is he may speak to you about what I call mindfulness. As you read through the New Testament, there is this theme of keeping the things of God always in our mind. We could use the word conscious if you want, or aware if you want, but it's always there. You read things about think on these things, or to pray always. It's always there. The Word of God is renewing our mind. It's saturating our personality and our character. It permeates our being. I just call it mindfulness. So don't be surprised if over the next 42 days, the Holy Spirit speaks to you about not compartmentalizing your faith, but letting it saturate everything in your life, every closet, every cupboard. Also, it may be that over the next 42 days, the Holy Spirit's going to speak specifically to you about, maybe as you're working through this journal, or maybe as you're listening to the messages on Sunday morning, but he may begin to bother you about why you're not sharing your faith. Do you know that everyone who trusts Christ for forgiveness of sins has been commissioned with the message, and it's up to them to share the message? In fact, the Apostle Paul says, how are they going to hear unless somebody announces? Well, that's you. Nobody else is going to do it. So it may just be over the next 42 days, as you're seeking God about what it means to follow him, he's going to speak to you about that. And he's going to create situations for you, divine appointments, where you're going to have to step up to the plate, open your mouth, and say something. Are you ready for that? It may also be over the next 42 days that the Holy Spirit may start to convict you about being associated with him. You know that this whole idea of being ashamed of Jesus causes us to clam up and not say anything? Jesus himself said very directly on one occasion, in context of a challenge to follow him, he said, if you're going to be ashamed of me before men, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father and all the angels. We don't like to think of a loving Jesus that way, do we? But can you imagine Jesus being ashamed of you because you were ashamed of him? It may be over the next 42 days, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you in that area of your life. It may also be that as you seek him about what it means to follow him, he may be talking to you about this issue of keeping on. The biblical word is perseverance. Or maybe it's the word overcome. Pushing through, not giving up. Do you know you can read through the New Testament and actually find the names of people who, quote, shipwrecked their faith? They stopped at some point, stopped following. Something got to be too difficult, something didn't line up with their desires, whatever it was, but something came along and they stopped. What would it take for you to stop following Jesus? It might be over the next 42 days, that the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you about that and about the issue of pushing through and pushing on. One other area he may talk to you about is this whole arena of koinonia, one another. It's a whole lot more than donuts and coffee. It means really interacting our lives and spurring each one of us on to love and good deeds. Sometime you may just want to pull out your concordance and look up every verse that has to do with the words one another. You'll be surprised how much the New Testament has to say about that. So if you're going to follow Jesus, this may be an area of your life that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you on. So take a look at that. Look at that. As you go through this Not a Fan series where we're going to be pushing the buttons about commitment to following Jesus, the Holy Spirit may be dealing with you individually in one of these areas. Question. Are you ready for that? Are you ready and willing to let the Holy Spirit go where no man has gone before and interrupt your life and mess you up to straighten you out? A little bit of the prophet Jeremiah ministry to tear down so that he can build up. Look at those six areas. It may be that even this morning the Holy Spirit's nudging you already and you're thinking, oh no, I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know if I'm ready. Here's where I want to offer you some more encouragement. If there's one thing that I've heard people say about Cornerstone, it's this. I can come there and I know I'm going to feel welcome. There's no judgment. There's no harshness. No one's criticizing you. It's a place where you can be yourself, learn to follow Christ, and have somebody come right alongside you and help you get to the next step, whatever that step is. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's our mission. So let your guard down. Be who you are. Enjoy the fellowship. Learn to follow Jesus. This, friends, is how disciples are made. And we're committed to making disciples. Are you ready to go there? All right. The band's going to come up, and as they come up, we're just going to entrust this next month to the Lord, okay? Give him permission to go into those secret places of your heart and address what needs to be addressed and cause you to follow him. Let's do that. Let's just talk to the Lord. Jesus, we're so grateful for who you are. This is what you're about. You didn't come just so that we could jump into the hot tub of forgiveness and spend the rest of our days sipping on a cold glass of grace. You called us to follow you. And Lord, we've looked in the mirror enough to know that there's some things in our lives that just don't look like you. And if we're ever going to address those things, we need to come to you and to your word, which is sharper than a double-edged sword and can penetrate and divide even soul and spirit. Right now, Lord, in all honesty and sincerity, we say to you, go there. You have our permission to go there and to talk to us about those things that we need to see in the light of your word. Because underneath it all, in our gratefulness and our love for all that you've done on our behalf, we don't want to be fans. We want to be followers, wholly committed to you, and we'll go wherever you take us. Now you've got permission. Now we're fastening our seatbelts. Let's go. Let's go there. Amen.
How many people have heard that people